Lori DeGavito is a reporter and news anchor for WJRT TV 12, and she's on the other line, other end of our line. Lori, how are you?
Hi, Tony. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. A man suspected of fatally stabbing five men and wounding nine others, and two around the Flint area a couple summers ago, was convicted yesterday of first-degree murder in the first case to go on trial. Lori's been covering this story from day one. Lori, tell us about what happened yesterday.
Sure. Well, it was closing arguments in the morning, then jury instructions, and they went back to start deliberating about 10 to 12. They actually took a lunch break, prosecutors say, for about an hour, and the jury came back with a verdict around 2 o'clock, so it was less than an hour of deliberations, actually, and then them reading the verdict was like 2 minutes. I mean, guilty first-degree premeditated murder. He was only charged with one count, open murder, and they, you know, could pick from a number of different ways to hand that verdict down, and that's what they chose. We spoke with one of the jurors, the foreman, actually. I didn't speak with it personally, but my co-worker, Kristen Abraham, did, and he said it wasn't really, you know, one specific thing that got them there, but everything. And to prosecutors, really, they presented like 50-some witnesses in like 8 days. It was crazy. It moved really fast. And they just had really good evidence. The DNA was indisputable almost. I mean, the Michigan State Police expert who got up there and talked about the DNA, the victim's blood inside Abulazam's SUV on the steering wheel, on his shoe, and on his jeans. You know, there's tiny little flecks of blood, but she said the chance of it being anyone else's blood, you know, at random in the population was like 1 in 397 20 trillion. So, I mean, it was like some ridiculous number. And then they also had other victims, four other surviving victims, I believe, testified to what happened to them, and it was all the same. They were stabbed, like, in the gut, basically. They were asked by a man for directions or help with his hood on his truck, and then they were just stabbed, and everyone identified Abulazam, even though at the time they didn't necessarily describe him the way he is. He's a huge guy. Of course, he's Arabic, not white, like originally was expected, but they had that identification, they had the DNA, and it was a slam dunk, according to one of the victim's brothers yesterday. They were just really pleased.
What's been the response from Flint's residents from your perspective?
You know, we haven't really spoke with a ton of people because it happened so fast. Yesterday, I know when it was going on, people were really freaked out. I mean, these were African-American men, you know, early morning. We're talking 2, 3 in the morning, walking alone. It's not uncommon to see people at all hours of the day walking about, you know, the streets of Flint, doing their own thing. So these were people that, you know, didn't want to change what they did, but then you've got some guy driving around and potentially waiting to stab someone else. So people were really scared when it was going on, not knowing when it was going to happen. For a while, like that month period, it was like once every couple days. You know, he's 14 people, at least, in the Flint area they can tie him to, they believe, police can, in about, you know, five-week period. So there really was some fear, and the people really got into this. I don't know if they were fascinated by him or what the situation was, but, you know, you never heard from him, and then the defense put on one witness, their expert witness, when it was their turn to do that, and he just had some crazy, crazy admissions from the Abulazam, claiming that, you know, he felt that these evil forces were controlling him and making him attack these men. He used the words "bold fucking demons." I mean, it was just crazy to hear this come out in court, but it was the Abulazam talking to him, saying that, you know, he'd feel these shadows come over him and attack, and when he hurt, he'd go back home and he'd lay down and he'd feel them leaving and he'd get this relief. And, you know, so that finally came out, and that's the most we've ever heard from him as to why this actually happened.
We're talking with Lori DeGavito, who is with WJRT TV 12 in Flint on the Flint stabbings. There is a verdict in on the first killing, guilty. Lori, why are these being tried individually as opposed to collectively?
Well, I think that's just, you know, the way it goes when you go into, and I'm a legal expert, but, you know, sitting through this stuff, everyone gets a clean slate when they go in. You're charged, you know, with proving they did this one specific act or whatever related to this one victim. And so I believe that you're not supposed to, you know, pile these all together, but prosecutors were able to use some rule, and I'm guessing what it is because it's the number, and I can't remember what it is right now, but they were able to bring in the other men's testimony and stories to show this pattern and plan and you know, to go that route. So they weren't able to get them in that way, but as the case stands, 9 individual cases just in Genesee County, 3 in Virginia, 1 in Toledo, though that Toledo victim has since passed away, not from the stabbing, but from cancer. So I'm not sure what happens, but in this case, the Arnold Minor case, the first one to go to trial in Flint, he's facing life in prison without parole. So, you know, now prosecutors have to decide if they're even going to move forward with these 8 other cases. Very costly. It's very time-consuming. The expert witnesses alone for the prosecutors were like $15,000. You know, I mean, it's everyone's facing budget issues throughout Michigan. So I think they have to weigh what happens here and if they'll, you know, negotiate pleas with him in these other 8 cases in Genesee County. As for the other states, I have no idea what's going on with those, but it's safe to say that when he's sentenced next month, June 25th, he's going to get life in prison without parole. And that doesn't change. You know, he doesn't have a chance of ever getting out of prison. So I guess prosecutors have to really look at how they're going to proceed with those other cases and seeing what's best for them and for the victim.
We've been talking with Lori DeGavito, a reporter and news anchor for WJRT-TV Flint in Flint, Channel 12, if you're in that area. Lori, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.